this request isn't for everybody. I don't expect full participation. But if there's one or at least two people out here like me that has a thank you for God, I dare you to get up on your feet and just tell God, thank you. You don't have to even tell me what you're thanking him for. Some stuff we can't even tell folks what we gotta thank God for. But go ahead and give God a thank you for waking me up. Thank you that my ministry's not from a hospital bed. Thank you that my car is still intact. I know where every family member is. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. For some of us, God has just been that good. He got a he can't meet testimony. Turn to your neighbor real quick and say, won't he do it? Woo. Hallelujah. I don't know what's wrong with me, y'all. Y'all might have to report me or something. But God, I gotta thank you up in my spirit. I don't know what it's for. Maybe because he pulled me out of death's door. I don't know. But I gotta tell him, thank you. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't look like what I've been. Don't let the crowd fool you. God's been better than good to me. Hey. Yeah, yeah. See, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul begins to cry out. Hallelujah. I thank God for blessing me. He's blessed me. Ah, my, my, my. Thank you, God. I'm blessed when I come. I'm blessed when I go. I'm blessed in the fields. I'm blessed in the city. And I know the kind of God that I serve. I can't be the only one blessed. Thank you, God. Yeah. He's awesome. Thank you. He'll blow your mind. God will blow your mind. Stay in relationship with him long enough. I'm not talking about just knowing him. Stay in relationship with him long enough. Try him. Test him. Malachi, the Bible says that God said, test me, try me, and see if I won't. Thank you, God. Listen, I'm excited and glad again to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And I'm certainly grateful that I'm here at Shiloh Baptist Church one more time. God is good. I thank God for the under-shepherd, that God continues to expand his borders and he does such a perfecting work in us. And the under-shepherd of this house, while he wears many hats, he is faithful to his members, he loves his sheep. And even when he's gone, he makes sure that you got some bread to eat from. So I thank you for who he is, God, and who he is personally in my life. He's been a blessing to me in so many different ways. He and I have an opportunity to share what God has placed between us, this covenant of how we go out and do incredible work in the field here and abroad. And so I'm grateful for that. I want you to give it up for none other than your pastor, Darrell Armstrong. And listen, while you're putting your hands together, you might as well go ahead and give it up for that fabulous first lady y'all have. She is God-fearing, she is gorgeous, and she gets it done. And so we love you, Melanie, even in your absence, and I certainly send my love out to all of you. If I named you by name, I'm sure I would miss someone, and I wouldn't want to do that. But I have family here that I'm tied to. And I'm appreciative of that family. They are my extended family. I even have the family that I grew up with, my siblings, my nephews, my great nieces are here in the house. I see them. And so I'm grateful to see them, because it's not guaranteed that we'll always get a chance to see each other. We never know. God watch between me and thee. Why? We're absent one from another. So I'm grateful to see them. I'm also grateful not only for my extended family here, the Sumners and the Vaughn, and all those who I love and certainly have given me an abundance of love. I'm grateful for my spiritual family here, that you pray for me, and I pray for you. And I even have my kingdom family here in the house. I see you too. And you see, I'm not going to call anybody out, but I want you to know that I see you and I appreciate it. And that means I got at least Sister Betty two amens in the house. So listen, I want to get right into the word, share this word. I want to lift it up to you. I want to engage you this morning. I want you to think critically about who you are, and more importantly, who God is to you and what he can do in your life. I want to share from the Gospel of Mark as we are reflective, as we are in preparation and also anticipation of this season called Lent, as we move closer to the time of the cross. This is the fourth Sunday of Lent. So in your time of reflection, preparation, and anticipation, I pray that you can take a word from this particular passage and what God has given me this morning to share out of Mark 16, chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. If you're there, just say amen.
Amen.
If you're still punching it in on your cell phone, say wait a minute. I'm waiting. The Gospel of Mark is known historically to be the first gospel that was written. So I'm reading from the Gospel of Mark, not because this particular story is not found in the other gospels, but I'm reading it because of how Mark tells this story. In the NIV, it reads as such: when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, the one that they say the Pharisees were prepared to throw stones at, and Jesus intervened. Then there's Mary, the mother of James, James of Little. We hear very little of him. But then there is Salome. Her name is actually Mary, and she is the wife of Zebedee, who was also the mother of James and John, which is Jesus' disciples. All three Marys bought spices from the store so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked the question to each other: who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. This is the word of the Lord. And it is for our edification and for his glory. You may take your seats in the presence of a reigning Savior. God, I've prayed privately, and certainly I profess publicly that I certainly have not mastered the way nor mastered the work that you have given me. But I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for the shadow that I can always hide behind. So thank you, O God, for covering me. I pray that you use me in a mighty way, that somebody's life, the trajectory that they were going, is shifted toward you. This is my prayer, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I just got to be real up front. What captures me about this momentous occasion told by Mark, describing one of the most talked about events in the AD history, that is the after-death history, in academic circles and what I like to call corner conversations, this story is talked about much, and that is the recording of the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what captures me about this momentous occasion is that Mark tells the story of the women's revelation over the stone that sealed Jesus' tomb. And if anybody knew anything about stones, Mary Magdalene knew a little something. Uh-huh. What God wants to tell us, I believe, in this particular passage is that the stones are not as stationary and steadfast as they seem. God wants to remind us that stones, even though heavy and large and solid, are not as stationary and steadfast as they seem. That God can take a stone that is designed to delay or prevent you from moving forward and make it an opportunity of unstoppable proportions. See, the absence of Jesus' body, as we read it in this text, was the first piece of evidence of his resurrection because he was executed in the interest of an empire. Stay with me. In other words, his death declared to the Roman Empire that they had won. The Roman Empire, under Tiberius's regulation and leadership by way of Pontius Pilate, had won the work as it related to what Jesus was trying to do according to the Jewish community and turning it upside down. I can imagine, though, as they believed that they had kind of won this one for the empire, I thought about Lucius Lyon for a second. And I said, I can only imagine that Lucius Lyon, you know, empire, I watch that. Lucius Lyon getting a press conference together saying, listen, that Jesus was something else, but he's nothing up against this empire. See, we know how to take him down. And as I looked at that, it was funny, because as we watched the story unfold, we come to a place in this particular pericope where we find Jesus's body missing. Jesus's body is missing, and the missing body of Jesus, the resurrected body of Jesus, tells us that he has actually effectuated an empire takeover. Now, I think Cookie would be kind of upset about that. If this was Cookie's empire, she'd say, wait a minute, Lucius. What did you do? I thought we had this under control. I thought we had the empire back. And now we have this scandal. We can't find where he is. What's going on? Now it looks like we failed at taking over. And so, when we look at the missing body of Jesus, everybody expects him to be immovable by way of his death and by way of a sealed tomb that would take a small troop to move. And so it makes sense that when these women come across it, they realize right before they approach it that there's no way we're going to be able to do what we've come to do because there's a big old stone that must be rolled away. But when they looked up, the scripture says, the stone had rolled away. It's funny because this rolling stone had a story to tell, but it wasn't talking. The rolling stone has some explaining to do. But this very large rolling stone just stood there on the other side of the opening of the tomb, provoking more questions than answers. And because I am a mother in the millennium, I have four adulting daughters who are teaching me about the text, the Snapchat, and the Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I just want to offer this title to you this morning. Hashtag rolling stones. If you could just tweet that out real quick. Hashtag rolling stones. This particular rolling stone was a stone that, though still and silent, like a trail of cookie crumbs from a kitchen floor, it left undeniable evidence that somebody had been there and left. It left undeniable evidence of Jesus' elevation. It left undeniable evidence of his exit. It left undeniable evidence of a resurrection. And the problem with this is that the Roman government was there when he hung from a cross. They can't understand how he got up. How is it that his body's missing? There was no one in that vicinity who had an interest in causing this kind of scandal. And yet, despite being beaten, despite the crown of thorns on his head, despite the piercing in his side, despite the losing of his oxygen, oxygen that causes death, despite all of that, they place him in a grave, believing that he is dead, only to find out that there's a stone that rolled away. And when the women go inside of the tomb, they discover that Jesus is gone. Well, I'm reminded what Isaiah said back in the Old Testament, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So just like his life was met with stones. Y'all remember one of the incidents of Jesus meeting a stone was when he met Satan on a mountain to be tempted. And Satan said, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus takes that stone of obstinance and that trickery from the enemy, and he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not only did his life face some stones, but his death faced some stones. They threw stones at him as he walked to Calvary. They threw stones at him as they prepared him to put him on a hill called Golgotha. They actually even put a stone in the way of where his cross was. Stones was a part of the death story of Jesus. But not only that, they wind up putting a stone over his tomb to make sure that if in fact anything that he said was true could not happen. They put a stone over his tomb. They buried him. But in their process of burying him, these three women remembered that Jesus should have been honored, that he should have had a proper burial, that there should be somebody that goes to care for the remains of Jesus. And so they woke up early in the morning. And can I tell you something about women? When we wake up early in the morning, there's only two reasons why. About to let a secret out. Only two reasons why we wake up early in the morning. Because we got to help somebody, we got to take care of somebody, or we got to take care of ourselves. Those are two reasons why we'll wake up early in the morning. Because we have to go be a caregiver to someone, make sure they're okay, or we have to go do our 6 a.m. hair appointment so we can get out and get on with our day. But I find that men wake up early for different reasons. They wake up early to be the first one to get the newspaper. They wake up early to be the first one to get the cup of coffee and a donut. They wake up early to go get the car wash. Women aren't rolling over for that. We're different. And so these women, they wake up early. Before the sun had even rose, they woke up. Because the Bible says that when they reached the tomb, day had just broke. So their walk was in the dark. Their walk was a heavy walk because they were grieving the loss of their Savior. And they had not yet come to know the manifest glory of the resurrection power of Jesus the Christ. And when they get approaching, when they go to approach the tomb, they remember that there is a stone. This means that not only did Jesus' life story and death story include stones, but his resurrection included a stone story. And now you might be able to look over some of the stones in your story, but like Jesus, my life has had some large stones in it. And when I tell my comeback story, when I talk about the resurrection story, my got up story, I can't leave out the stones. And I know I have about three people in here who have a stone story. I mean, maybe your story is not my story, but you've got a stone story. You know how you got out. For some of us, it's how you crawled out. For others, it's how you rolled out. For others, it might be how you had to sneak out. And others just had to run out. And some of you had to get kicked out. But there was a stone that had to be rolled for you to get out. There are rolling stones in our story. And how did these stones get rolled away? Did we ever stop to think, how did I get through that? How did I get by that? How did I get over that? How did I wind up missing that? Yeah. because God was somewhere working in your favor, making sure that stones were being rolled. Hashtag rolling stones. And so when I look at this, it is powerful because Jesus, the rising Christ, reminds us that no matter what happens in our life, God is working for us. Even for Mary, who had heavy hearts, mourning the loss of their hope, of their Savior, of their way out, their lily in the valley, their teacher, their lamb that was slain, their bread of life. They were mourning Jesus, even in this, that they rose early, carrying the weight of grief, walking to the tomb, only to realize that there would be a stone and something standing between them and Jesus. That's what stones do. They stand between us and new life. Stones stand between us and new power. Stones stand between us and new opportunities. It prevents us from getting to Jesus to express our gratitude, our honor, and affirm the blessed work of his life. It prevents us from moving forward. That particular stone tried to block their blessing. It tried to stop them from getting to God. That stone tries to get in our way every time. For us, the stone might try to stop us from finishing what God has started in us. For others, it might be something that prevents us from moving forward. For others, that stone represents something that causes our dreams to be deferred. For others, it prevents us from getting our degree, from starting our business, from writing our book, from birthing new ideas in old age. That stone is always there blocking us and preventing us from moving forward. So I've come to ask you a question this morning, people of God. Who or what is your stone? Listen, as you ponder that particular question, I want you to know that Nehemiah had some stones. They were called Sanballat and Tobiah. See, on his way to achieve something great, Nehemiah had to confront some obstacles that stood between him and God's assignment on his life. He was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem for the people so that they might be restored. But there was somebody named Sanballat and Tobiah who really ridiculed him, put up obstacles. I don't know who's standing in your way. Maybe you have a Sanballat and Tobiah, but whoever it is, God's preparing you to make sure that your stones get rolled away. For David's stone was Saul. For Peter, it was his failing faith. For Judas, it was his love of money. For Adam, it was him falling short. For Abraham, it was his lack of courage. And for Jacob, it was feeling unworthy and fearful. I don't know what your stone is this morning, but for Martha, it was her busyness, and for the blind man, it was his excuses. I don't know what your stone is this morning, but whatever your stone is, it's time for you to know that God is willing and able to roll it away. For the paralytic, his stone was his bed. God spoke to him and said, get up off your bed. Your bed has been your stone. For Jeremiah, it was self-doubt. For Joseph, it was his brothers. Yes, your family can block your blessings. Your family can be your stone. I don't know what your stone is this morning, but I stopped by real quick to remind you. For Naomi, it was her hurt. And for Sarah, it was her sarcasm and impatience. I don't know what your stone is this morning, but God is ready, willing, and able to move your stone. Yeah, hallelujah. If you're ready for some stones to be rolled away in your life, I need to just give God a real quick clap. Say, God, I'm ready. I applaud you. I laud you because I know that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I can think or ask. I'm tired of the stones in my life. I'm tired of starting and stopping. Thank you, God. So, it would be incomplete and irresponsible of me to not tell you how to confront the stones in your life. There are three action items that you can take with you to confront the stones in your life. First thing you need to do is acknowledge, Sister Betty, that you got a stone. Because some of us look real good on the outside. Oh, we dressed from head to toe. We looking sharp and fine all day. But we are folk who are struggling with some stones in our life that we're not willing to admit to. So the first action item is to acknowledge, what is your stone? Is it fear? Is it low self-esteem? Is it you've lost your dreams, despair, a relationship that just keeps sucking the life out of you? What is your stone? Acknowledge it. The second thing is accept that you cannot move that stone by yourself. Amen. Three women, they said, who will help us roll this stone away? And no one there was interested in the least in rolling that stone away. Do you realize that you will have stones in your life that folk don't want to mess with? Because of their own fear, their own concern. Some folks say, I got my own issues. I don't have time to help you with yours. There are folk who are not going to help you roll your stones away. But I know one who can roll a stone away with one word. He can roll a stone away with one breath. He can roll a stone away with a blink of an eye. He can roll a stone away. It can cause your testimony to say that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, for I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I know one. His name is my Father. Can roll our stone away. And the third thing is access. Access your faith. Acknowledge your stone. Accept that you cannot do it alone. And access your faith. This is what these three women tell us. The Bible said in verse 4 that they looked up. And some of us are so busy looking across and looking down and looking out. But the Bible says that my help comes from the Lord. That I ought to look up to the hills from which cometh my help. For my help comes from the Lord. I learned when I traveled to Monrovia, Liberia, that the enslaved blacks who traveled back to Africa because they found an opportunity to escape, that they saw a hill from far off. They had no compass, no MapQuest, no iPhone app. They were out there on the seas all by themselves. And the Monrovian community shares with me that their story that is written in stone tells of sojourners coming back to Africa and seeing a large hill. And they kept their eye on that hill, and that hill landed them on a place that they named the place of liberty, Liberia. That's what Liberia means, the place of liberty. We've got to learn how to look up. So while you're doing these three things, acknowledging, accepting, and accessing your faith, there are three things that you ought not do. Because for everything that we do, there's something that we ought not do. The first thing that we ought not do is don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. I understand that we might get concerned, but I want us not to get discouraged, because discouragement causes disengagement. Discouragement causes paralysis. It causes us to sit on a pity pot and talk about the things that get us down. It causes us to get on Facebook and post our problems. It causes us to talk to people who can't do anything about your issue. Discouragement will have you going round and around about nothing. God is the lifter of your head. Be not weary in your well-doing, for in due season, if you faint not, Don't be discouraged. The second thing is don't get distracted. What I love about these women is that even when they realized in a moment of a second that they were not going to be able to effectually anoint the body of Jesus, it did not distract them. They kept moving forward. They didn't stop and hold a two-hour meeting. They didn't sit down and try to figure out who they can call. They didn't start texting folks about help 911. What they did was continue, and they asked the question. And before they could even answer it and figure it out, they accessed their faith. They looked up, and the Bible says that the stone was rolled away. And the third, don't get disconnected. Don't get disconnected in your process of finding your stones and confronting your stones. You don't want to get disconnected from the master's hand. God is a God that wants to do awesome things in your life. And when you're disconnected, you put yourself in a position to be disqualified. And I don't know about you, but I've been on this journey a little too long for God to disqualify me. So I've got to stay connected. I've got to stay at the master's ear. I've got to listen to the master's mouth. I've got to seek his word for guidance. I've got to stay plugged in, because when I'm plugged in, I'm connected to his power. When I'm plugged in, I'm connected to his peace. When I'm plugged in, I'm connected to his joy. I'm reminded that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I am connected, I dare to plug in, stay connected, make sure that God is at the forefront of your mission. Because God is a God that can part red seas. God is a God that can shut lions' mouths. God is a God that can have Sarah having sons well past her age of childbearing. God can move some stones. He's a God that can cause you to win a war with the weapon of praise, like he did with Joshua. He's a God that can calm raging seas. He's a God that can restore sight to the blind, lame to walk, cause the insane to gain sanity. He's a God that can move your stone out of the way. He is in the roll stone business. He can move it on out the way. He can cause Lazarus to get up out the grave at his own timing. He's a God that you need to stay plugged into. Because this God, who sent his son to remind us that we have resurrection power, yes, that there's nothing and no one that can stop us. Mary, needed to get to Jesus. And they realized in a moment that there was something in a way. But what I love about God is that when we can't see to get to him, he knows how to get to us. You don't have to go far. You don't have to tarry too long. That's my Pentecostal coming out. You don't have to lay on your face as long as they used to have us laying on our face. All you got to do is say, God, I need your help. God, I need to access you right now. God, I know that you can do anything but fail. And I'm asking you right now, I'm tired of this stone. I'm tired of this issue. I'm tired of this obstacle. I'm tired of this barrier. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your background is. When a stone comes to confront you, I double dog dare you to look to the hills from which cometh your help. For your help comes from the Lord. The Bible says, when the enemy came in like a flood, the Lord lifted a standard against it. I double dog dare you to talk to God, to stay connected, to stay encouraged, to make sure that you are plugged in, because God wants to do great things in your life, but he can only do what you give him access to. And as I take my seat, I want you to know, I realize that in here, we have all different kinds of faith. There's somebody in here with a mustard seed faith. But there's someone in here who struggles with faith. Is God really going to come through? Will he really get me out of this? Will he really turn this around? Will he do what he did for Joseph? Cause his enemy to be his footstools. Joseph said, everything that the devil meant for evil, God has turned it around for. Will God do that for me? My answer is yes. I want you to know that there's not one shut door. There's not one person. There's not one plan that can keep you from God's purpose and plan for your life. You've dealt with a lot of stuff in your life. This gentleman tells his story this morning about a stone that they thought would stop him. The enemy said, let me see what happens when he stands in the middle of an urban city during the night and gunfire takes place and he gets hit. Will he give up on his faith? Will he get mad with God? Will he get frustrated with his neighbors? Will he stop loving his neighbors? Will he talk bad about folk? Or will he stand and share the testimony of God? That God is able. And now the devil messed around and wind up causing a stone that was supposed to stop him to become his greatest story. Huh? It's an opportunity to tell God's story. It is a testimony waiting to happen. And just like Nehemiah, sometimes you got to rise above it. Sometimes you got to go up and say, I just can't come down right now. For there is a work for me to do. I can't let this stone get in my way anymore. This addiction, this gossip, this lying spirit, this confusion, this chaos get in my way anymore. There are things that will try to knock you out. Knock you down. And never look back to see if you got up. But I want you to know that God has already dispensed an angel. And like Mary, Mary, and Mary, in your tomb, when you look inside of there, you'll see somebody in white, it says, clothes shining, reminding you that he got up, so you're all right. Because he got up, you're going to be okay. Because the Son of God got up, you can get up and move past your problems and cause your problems to become your purpose. Come on and give God a hand clap of praise. Stand to your feet in this place. Listen, I just want to let somebody know in here today that no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you are going through, and no matter what you're going to go through, that God is with you. His word that shall not return unto him void says that I will walk with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is his promise. And I am not the only living witness that God will never leave you nor forsake you. David tells me that if I make my bed in Sheol, there you will be. If you are looking for new life because the one you have is not working, I want you to know that the doors of the church are open. This is your time set aside just for you. We won't do anything crazy, nothing to embarrass you. We won't publicly put your name out there. We just want you to come. We want you to be invited into a space that saved our lives. An opportunity to talk to someone who will remind you that salvation is simply, it only requires a confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. If I'm talking to you this morning, I ask you to gently take the person's hands that's in the aisles. They're here to love on you and embrace you and welcome you.
Don't.